Good morning, Emmanuel. Welcome to our service and to those who will be listening at a later date to our recorded ministry. You are very welcome as well. There are no additional notices over and above that which is on Emmanuel's Weekly News for this Sunday. Our reader this morning is Jenny Powley, and our prayers of intercession will be given by John Blakesley. We welcome any visitors, and if you are a first-timer, please let yourself know either to me or one of the others, and we will make sure that you are very welcome as well. Just a reminder that after the service, there is tea and coffee served in the hall at the back of the premises after the service. I will now light the Christ candle and we will have a few moments of quiet reflection while we prepare for service.
Hello and good morning to you all and welcome. Before anything else, if life this past week has been in a haze, it's probably because somebody left their glasses here last Sunday. Are they yours? Sorry? No wonder she's not at work today. There we are. We found them after, while we were clearing up afterwards, and there was nobody to ask the question, who does this belong to? So they've been safely kept, and I'm glad you've recovered them. Historically, the churches of the Reformation chose to begin service by the words of, "The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it." And these words still, or even more, are relevant at the time in which we are living. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Let us remember this as we celebrate worship this morning. And it's a strange variety of situations. The sun is pouring in. The temperature isn't as hot as it was in the last few weeks. Some who like the sun sit on one side of the church. Others who don't like the sun shining in their faces sit on the other side of the church. As Mike has just said, we try and do our best to accommodate your needs as much as we can, in as much as we are able to. So with the gift of a beautiful day, let us worship God. And we'll be using the two hymn books today, Rejoice and Sing and Sing Praise. But we begin with Rejoice and Sing, hymn 657, Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Mortals, give thanks and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice.
Thank you.
in a few seconds I will light the peace candle, and as I did last week, I will read this time another prayer prepared by the United Reformed Church for the violence and the destruction and the killing that is going on, particularly in the Holy Land. Let us pray. O Lord, we hear the news and don't know what to say. We see those scenes of violence and don't know how to pray. We read of people fighting over the land and know it was ever thus. We see the surprise and the shock, hear the cries for revenge, taste the violence begetting more pain and sorrow, and touch the bitterness of oppression and loss breeding yet more violence. A vicious circle that destroys life and land, leading to despair and hopelessness. We hear of international outrage and messages of support, but know there's more to this complex story of land, justice, faith, security, and history that can be encapsulated in easy sound bites. We watch, we listen, we read, and we try to pray, but there are no words in us. Lord, you told us not to kill, a commandment venerated and wrestled with by Jews, Christians, and Muslims, a hard commandment, one we always want to wiggle room with, yet today we see your children killing each other. Violence is a weapon of oppression, purporting to be the weapon of protest, seeking to be a bargaining chip, disfigures our humanity, distorts our perception, and disables our discipleship. In these desperate times, Lord, give strength to those who work for peace. Diplomats and governments calling for restraint, the Red Cross offering to visit all who are detained, faith leaders proclaiming your commandments in a world at war and peace lovers praying for justice. Bind up the brokenhearted, give grace to those seeking to end the spiral of violence, grant wisdom to those seeking peaceful ways to resolve old age conflicts. And give us the prayers, the words, and the perseverance needed to make our discipleship, our efforts for peace and justice, that they may count. Amen. Our prayers of thanksgiving and confession. And we will end this time of prayer with the Lord's Prayer all together. We pray. The sun shines after some heavy rain. The sun shines and it makes everything look different. The temperature, it's gone down. We're really living the autumn experience. But as summer and spring, autumn and then winter are needed, they are the rhythm of life that you saw and called good. a time for the earth to rest and regain strength for what is to come, a time for us to see things in a different way. And we pray, O Lord, that this time may be called good. We want to give you thanks for all that nurtures our life, for all that helps us keep going, for the closeness of friends, for prayers offered and prayers given, that we remember we aren't alone, for family and friends, whether they be nearby or far away, for those beginning their own travel in life, learning new things and doing things that nobody expected, that they will grow in experience. For a time to rest. We pray and give thanks for the talents of doctors and nurses, those who heal us, those that make life a little bit easier for us. They're under a lot of pressure, and we lose patience sometimes. Be with them. We give you thanks for all that helps us keep going, for music, for the books we read, for the time of silence, for joy and hope. O Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when we forget that you call things good. Forgive us if we get caught up in despair or anxiety. Forgive us, O Lord, for not taking you too seriously. And in this time of silence, may our hearts come together and may each of us be able to give you thanks or seek forgiveness according to what we feel and what we need. Hear our prayer, forgive us, restore us, that the world in which we live may be a better place because your faithful people, the world around, seek to be better. To you the glory, this day and forevermore, and as your children we say together, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now Jenny will lead us in the reading for this morning.
The New Testament reading can be found on page 196 of the Bibles in the pews. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning at the second verse. Paul calls for unity in the church. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jenny, for leading us in the reading. And to the reading, we respond in song. This time from Sing Praise, hymn 188. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove, teach us the truth and help us believe, show us the Saviour's love.
Please be seated.
Without your help, we fail, our Lord. We cannot live his way. We need your power, we need your strength, following Christ each day. My first question to begin this morning was going to be, or ask you, if you had ever called out to God with words such as, "Don't you care, God, don't you care?" But then I stopped, and I haven't asked that question. I'm going to ask another question, which I think is a more honest question. How many times have you called out to God with words as that question? Don't you care, God? People close to me, not to say it's my daughter, have suggested that I should stop seeing the 7 o'clock news. It really gets me worked up. And it's true, it does. But for many, many years now, I can't not watch the news. I need to know what's going on, even if it does work me up. And as I said last Sunday, I do browse through my computer just before I come to church to see if there's anything in the news that I should be considering for the service. Just to let you know, there is no difference this morning than there was last night. In a way, within all that's going on, it's a situation of grace. Human violence where innocent children are massacred, women are raped, young people are murdered. Political economic systems which wreak havoc on innocent people. The human devastation of creation which affects the life of millions. And individuals cry out to God, why? Or when? Oh, how long, God, how long? I'm sure we can all identify with this. Even Jesus cried out, I'd rather prefer this not to happen. But, and believe me, I strongly believe, and I have often said to people, cry out to God. God is the right person to cry out to. I've often added the rather heretical aspect of this, because if God can't take it, God's in the wrong job. If God can't hear us saying, I don't get it, God. I don't know why, God. I'm cross, God. I'm sure God can take it. I believe, and if you've read the Psalms, you'll understand that calling out to God is the right direction of our anxiety and our despair, even our fury. It's better to call out to God, because if not, if we just bottle it up because we can't speak to God that way, do you know what will happen? It'll come out at the wrong time, for the wrong reason, against the wrong person. Somebody who probably doesn't have the strength that God has to be able to hear and resist or listen lovingly. We turn to God because we believe that God wants us to cry out to God. Even telling him, I don't understand. With our doubts, with our fears. In this world today, some will cry out to the gods they have created, those that satisfy their needs. Others, against all logic, will turn to the God of our faith, against all logic as seen by other people. And this is where the letter to the Christians in Philippi challenges us still today. The first verse that we didn't read, because it's the closing of the previous section, says, stand firm. Stand firm. And at the end, in verse 9, it says, keep on. Because God will be with you is the promise written in this letter. And sometimes that promise is very hard to discover. Sometimes that promise is hidden. And sometimes we don't realize that we don't see it because God is walking beside us, not waiting above. God is in the midst of our difficulties, leading us through them. There's a text in Isaiah which I love, which says, you will walk through waters and they won't overcome you. It doesn't say you won't walk through waters. You walk through fire and you will not be burnt. It doesn't say there will be no fire. The God we believe in is the God who comes down and walks with us in the midst of all these issues. A God who knows what these pains are. And walking with us is sometimes God's way of helping us reach the other side. Yes, I agree. It would be much better if it all suddenly click fingers and it all goes away. But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes what we need is somebody assuring us that we aren't alone. The church in Philippi was founded by a woman. Shock and horror. Founded by a woman, Lydia. And it seems, where we pick up the reading today, that there are two groups in the church, both led by women, Euodia and Syntyche. I mean, this is 2,000-odd years ago. And against what the church has taught many people for many centuries, this was a community led by women. And even when they had divisions and discussions, it was still led by two women. What Paul says here is, try, do your best to find an agreement and work together. Work together. The biggest danger of a church, on any church, anywhere, is personalized leadership. I am the leader of the church, whatever my name is. Not the community that is being created and nurtured. And as such, sadly to say, this continues to be a big contentious issue in the world in which we live in. The reading of today is a call to build up community, not only in the hands of the leadership, but in the hands of every member of that community, through prayer. Can you imagine if we just left prayer to the leaders of a community? If we said, oh no, they're doing it, they're the leaders, I don't have to pray. I don't want to even imagine what would happen. We need the community praying, living the values that God has shown us, based on things that make us better people, but not better people as we see it, better people as God sees it. What is true, that litany that comes is so beautiful. What is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is worthy of praise. And that is in deep contrast and opposition to deceit, selfishness, lies, vanity, self-indulgence, and injustice. And you know, just pick up any newspaper, whatever one you read, so much of what is going on today in our country and in so many other countries is based on individualism, on vanity and pride, rather than community upbuilding. The passage reminds us that there are two models in conflict, but only one of them is God's vision for us. And that is what we have to try and discern and cling to. So in the world today, 2023, we continue in the tension described in the letter. We written around the 50s. Not the 1950s, the 50s. No number before it. The individual above the community, or the community at the heart of all we do. And the community is not the church community only. It's a community in which we are living, the community we relate to, the people we cross walking the corridor of our church, who all we know is, oh, they're using one of the halls, full stop, we don't know much more. They are the community as well. It would be nice if we said, oh, good to see you. I'm a church member. We're delighted that you're using our hall. Full stop. Don't have to engage much more. And they really like it. Thursdays. Elder meetings finishes at 7 o'clock. That was wishful thinking. Start at 7 o'clock. Finish somewhere after 9 o'clock. And when we leave, either in the parlor or in the hall, there's a choir. That's absolutely fantastic. We come out of the elders' meeting, and as last time we had elders' meeting, they were practicing in the hall. There is no nicer way to go home after a meeting. I'm not saying the meeting was bad. It wasn't. I'm saying just you finish the business, and you walk down the corridor, and you hear them singing. And there's a guy who sits there, and I said to him once, oh, you don't sing in the choir. He said, no, my mission is to make tea and coffee for the break. I said, more important than the choir singing? Yes, because they wouldn't sing if there wasn't tea and coffee. They'd go out in a huff. So his role was absolutely crucial. And there he got up, and we got talking. Horror of horrors. Can you imagine Robert talking to a stranger? Who would ever believe that? And now, because I've done this various times, I don't say we're buddies, but I mean, he knows me and I know him, and the choir was just absolutely lovely. So we sat there while he was putting the kettle on and just listened to it. And the magic, choir knows what I'm talking about. Voices blending together in creating sound and sounds. Sometimes as if it were one, and sometimes as if you were 100. And that's a gift. That creates community. That touches people's heart. So the instruction at the close of today's reading continues to be important for us. Keep on doing the things you have learnt, received, and heard, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, sometimes it's not as complicated as we make it out. Continue to do the things you have learnt, received, and heard. We don't have to rediscover the wheel every week. It's there, and it still goes round and round and gets us where we need to go. We'll be celebrating communion today, a communion which we have as an open communion. Everybody who feels that they would like to take of the bread and the cup, non-alcoholic wine, is free to do so. We come together as the community of God's children, different as we are, but with the calling to grow in faith and service to each other and to the world, in a way that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How many times have those words been used from here or any other pulpit of any church you know? This continues to be the heart of what we do, what we say, what we pray, and what we think. In a few moments, we will sing a hymn which is very, very close to my heart. It reminds me of what is central to our faith, especially clear as we celebrate communion. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. Let us build a house where love is found in water, wine, and wheat. And the most difficult words of all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. The world, on one hand, is telling us that not everybody is welcome in this place, which is God's creation for us all. As church, may we prove those opinions wrong. We need these words to be true. In every sense of the word, in every way possible, there is no other way of being church than that way, as we have seen in the reading today. Because let me assure you, the alternative is not a good one. Amen. Sing praise. Hymn 176. We will omit verse 2 just for length purposes only, no other reason. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live.
As we come together in prayer at the start of a new week, let us consider the prayer of a 6-year-old, Prisha. When I have peace, I have love and happiness. I can spread thoughts of peace into the world. If I spread peace, then the world will be calm again. So I send peace to every place with war. Om Shanti. I am a peaceful soul. Heavenly Father, we bring before you our dismay at the past week's acts and reactions to war. We pray for all the people in Israel and Palestine, that they may discover the courage and humility to build peace together, and that they will seek a just path of reconciliation. For our Muslim brothers and sisters in Israel and Palestine, this day we pray, Assalamu alaikum. For our Jewish brothers and sisters in Israel and Palestine this day, we pray, Shalom aleichem. And for our Christian brothers and sisters in Israel and Palestine this day, we pray, the peace of Christ. Amen. God of community, we pray for our church here at Emmanuel, for its life in the ecumenical partnership of Old Town. We pray too, Lord, for all who minister and serve in this parish, both in our buildings and out in the wider community. We pray for strength and wisdom and for your guiding spirit to be upon all who step out in faith, proclaiming your loving kindness in these places. We pray for all those who come through the doors of these churches. We ask that, whatever the reason they come in, that they will encounter the peace and love that comes only from you. Guiding Father, help us to continue to do the good that has been done. Father of justice, we pray for the leaders of all nations. We pray especially for the government that leads this country. We pray that there will be work done that goes beyond the headlines, that difficult decisions already made will work for the benefit of the majority. We pray for fairness for all people and wisdom in how public money should and is allocated and spent. Lord of all creation, we give you thanks for the world that you have created and entrusted into our care. We know that over time we have made mistakes, the ripples of which are being felt, often by the most vulnerable. We pray that you will enter into the hearts of those who govern and make decisions so that we can reduce and reverse the damage that has been done to this beautiful planet. Lord, we ask for you to speak into the hearts of each of your people. Encourage each of us to make changes that, although may seem small and insignificant, will collectively bring about positive change so that we can live our lives in ways that reflect our love for you in our care of creation. God of healing and love, we bring before you those who are suffering either in mind, body or spirit, and ask for you to bring comfort in times of pain, worry and despair. In a moment of silence, we will each bring before you the people, places and situations you have placed on our hearts. Lord of all hope, we pray for those who are coming towards the end of their earthly lives. Hold out your loving hand and guide them to the way everlasting. We pray for those who have died in recent days or where an anniversary may fall at this time. Lord, comfort those who mourn, who will be forever changed through the loss of someone they have loved so deeply. Father of all, in a moment of silence, we bring before you prayers for ourselves, our families, and our encounters over the coming week. O pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you, really. And at this time of the service, we share what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering. O Lord, the offering we now present to you comes from you through us. Give us wisdom to recognize all that is yours, and to those who have to decide how the offering is distributed, humility and love, so that it may reach others. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And let us share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Thank you. In a few moments, we will be celebrating communion. Let me read these words. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be pure. You don't have to be righteous. You don't have to be sure. You just need to be hungry. Just need to be fed. You just need heaven's manna. You need to need the bread. Jesus says, come, eat, whoever you may be. His bread is for the taking, for you and even me. No questions will be asked here. No test will be applied. The only thing you need is a need to satisfy. You don't have to have the answers. You don't need to impress. You don't have to be certain. You don't have to confess. you just need to be thirsty and just need filling up. You just need heaven's fountain. You need to need the cup. So Jesus says, come drink here, whoever you may be. His cup is for the taking, for you and even me. No questions will be asked here. No test will be applied. The only thing you need is a need to satisfy. May you feel invited to take the bread and the cup as we share communion in a few moments. And we prepare for this sharing by singing from hymn 107. Michael, we'll sing three verses if that's okay. Verses 1, 3, and 5 of hymn 107, The Love of God Comes Close, Where Stands an Open Door. Please be seated. As you heard just now in the poem I read, all are welcome, as we sang as well. The bread and the cup, Jesus wanted all his people to feel that they were invited. And you've heard me say this so many times, but just think of those who were sitting round the table. A denier, a doubter, a seller, and a group of people who ran a mile when they were probably most needed. Not one of them was denied the bread and the cup. The bread is broken, and the cup is shared for our healing and our nurturing. The night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks, and he took the cup and he gave thanks. Let us pray. Loving God, the bread, the cup, nature in the seeds, the rain, the sun, the growth, and through human action, the transformation, so that they can be on this table in this shape and form for us today. We give you thanks. And as we break the bread and take the cup, May we do this in memory of you. Amen. And after giving thanks, he broke the bread. And I invite you to receive the bread. We hold the bread together in our hands until everybody has received, so we can eat together. The bread that was broken, so that we may become whole. Let us eat in memory of him. When they had finished eating, Jesus took the cup and he said, "The new covenant, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let us receive the cup. We all hold the cup until we have all received it, so that we can drink together. Thank you. the cup that reminds us of Jesus giving for the life of the world. May we drink in memory of him. For your love that knows no bounds, we give you thanks. For hearing your word, reflecting, for singing, for eating and drinking, may we be nurtured. And we give you thanks. Amen. Our final hymn before we close our service. It's hymn... No, you won't find it there. It's 287. Let us rejoice, God's gift to us is peace. Here is the calm which bids us striving cease. For God's acceptance brings a true release. Alleluia. For the blessing, I give thanks today for two or three things. Suddenly, the light coming through the stained glass window caught my eye halfway through the sermon, and it was absolutely beautiful. Just discovered, because I didn't know before, that a good friend is sitting in the first pew on the choir stalls there, and I love it to know that Mortimer is still there. And you don't know... Because he's still there, isn't he? And you don't know what a joy it is to somebody who leads worship for many years now to find that in the first pew there are two smiling faces all the time. Thank you, gentlemen. I love it. You've made a difference. And finally, because we promised not to embarrass him at the beginning of the service, but to thank at the end. Thank you, Michael. The playing, basically... is come to an end. Now you will be able to feel free to do whatever you do at the end. But in this sense, it is such a joyful occasion. And may God grant to you in every walk of life, moments that make you smile, moments that surprise you, light that catches your eye, and joy, because that is God walking with us. It may not always be easy. It may not always be an answer we think we're looking for. But the grace of God fills our life. May the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.